Now we're getting to the bottom of everything.
It's time for Mother Angelica.
I mean, that's awesome.
Answering the call.
Answering the call.
This world is no place for Catholic chickens.
Answering the call.
You call that a failure? I call it a great success.
Here's Father Joseph and Doug Keck.
And welcome once again to Mother Angelica, Answering the Call. I'm Doug Keck with my co-host, Father Joseph Mary Wolfe. Hello, Father Joseph. How are you?
Great to be with you again, Doug.
Especially with Mother Angelica, I know that the show has aired once as a special and once as the original half-hour show we're now doing, and it seems like we're getting some great response, but of course, that's Mother always gets great response, right?
She always has a wisdom that just gets right to the point, right to the heart of the matter, and with some humor mixed in, which we always enjoy.
That's what we should do as well. So we got some interesting phone calls coming up at the top of the show. First up is going to be on baptism, and the second one is living in sin testimony. Your thoughts on anything that Mother says in the baptism that pops out at you?
Yeah, and that she brings out the truth that we are actually changed by the sacraments. We don't remain the same. They're not just symbols, but there is really something that affects us and changes us. And so she brings that up here regarding baptism with water, baptism with the Holy Spirit. And so we also have, I think, later in this show, talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Well, yeah, so the baptism in the Holy Spirit is really what I would describe as more of an actual grace. It's like a special grace that people receive who've already been baptized, and it opens the door to more that the Holy Spirit's doing.
Right, and speaking of sin, in the baptism, she makes the point that I'm happy that you feel so good, but make sure you go to confession, You got to take a bath every week. And that led into the one with living in sin testimony, and I thought it was interesting that the person again said, Mother, I feel so good because I really believe he has forgiven me for all my sins and all my years of knowing being in sin and everything and how important it is to feel that aspect of being forgiven, right?
Yes, and a lot of people don't think of confession as a healing sacrament, but the Catechism actually describes two sacraments as healing sacraments, the sacrament of confession and the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And isn't that what we experience? It's a wonderful experience, and of course, I'm a minister of confession as well, that it really brings this healing in the depths of our being that we can find nowhere else.
So let's leave it to Mother and see what she actually had to say.
We have a call. Hello?
Hi, Mother.
Hi.
I have a question about baptism.
Okay.
I was reading chapter 3 in Matthew today, and it talks about baptism in water and baptism with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know the difference between both and how you know you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't, how do you get it?
Mm-hmm. Well, baptism of the Holy Spirit is baptism, period. When you're baptized, your whole being, all your faculties change. It's just no longer what they were. And that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized, it's not an initiation. It's not that you belong to this big club. Baptism means that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come and live in you. I mean, that's awesome. So you are baptized in water. It is through the water. And the priests, the altar Christus, that the Spirit comes and lives in you. But he's not alone. He brings with him the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And all three persons live in you. And then when you're confirmed, that presence is made more active, and you receive something else. You receive the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why? You need them. At confirmation, you receive the fear of the Lord. It's a filial love for God as Father. You receive piety, that relationship between the Father and you. You receive fortitude, the gift to persevere in your lifetime. You receive the gift of counsel. That's discernment. You got to discern every day in your life, whether you're dealing with the Holy Spirit, the evil spirit, or the human spirit. If you don't discern, you're going to be in trouble. And then you receive three contemplative gifts. See, these are active gifts. What is the one thing necessary that I know, love, and serve God? It's a kind of detachment from the things of the world. Then comes understanding. I just can't read this book like a newspaper. I got to know it. I got to understand what I'm reading. That's a gift of understanding. Then there's the greatest gift of all. It's wisdom. Wisdom is not being smart, Alec. Wisdom is to know and share in the very wisdom of God. So you don't see things the way people see them through only human eyes. You see them through supernatural eyes. All that is gifts of the Holy Spirit. It isn't something you can get by doing anything. It's something that comes to you directly from God at baptism and confirmation. If you're not baptized, then I take instructions. If you are baptized, you cannot be baptized again. So there's no use soaking yourself in a river somewhere. You're only going to get wet. I can guarantee you nothing else is going to happen. You're either baptized or you're not. You can't get baptism five times. Once and that's it. So that's how it works. We have another call. Hello?
Mother Angelica, good
yeah,
evening.
Yeah, where are you from?
My name is Mary. I'm calling from Miami, and I want to let you know I love your show. I watch you every Tuesday and Wednesday.
Thank you.
I'd like to say hi to my little son, Ryan, who's watching. He's 3 years old.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Well, hi.
I have a wonderful testimony to tell you, and I'll make it very brief.
Okay.
I was living in sin for 6 years. I was living with Ryan's father, and I wasn't married to him through the Catholic Church. Actually, I wasn't married to him at all. I was just living with him. And he left me about a year and a half ago. And a neighbor of mine, who I didn't even know, asked me to attend a seminar of Life in the Spirit. And it's going to be a year now, July of 97, that I went to that seminar. And I truly believe that I received the Holy Spirit, and my life has been transformed. I have been celibate ever since. I go to church every Sunday. I read the Bible. I'm going to an evangelizing school here in Miami through the Archdiocese. And I give 10% of my salary, you know, I give that. And my life
Do you go to confession and communion?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay.
But luckily, I don't have that many sins to confess anymore. Anyways, I feel so good.
Very good.
Mother Angelica, I feel so good, and because I really believe that he has forgiven me for all my sins and all my years of, you know, of being in sin and everything. I feel that I'm really healing so much that now that I feel that I'm in his, you know, I'm following his footsteps, and I don't care what the world thinks of me. I want to just be good enough for God and do what's godly. I've been asking a lot for him to send me someone so I can receive the sacrament of matrimony and get married through the Catholic Church. Do you think it's wrong to continue to pray for that?
No, I don't think it's wrong. If you want to get married, I think it's better you pray. Yeah, I think you need to pray because, well, temptations are always there. You know that. But I think you're doing well. And I'm so happy that you said how good you feel because you've gone to confession. Keep going to confession, though. Go to confession the same way you take a bath. You know, you take a bath every night or once a week or whatever. But please... you have to go to confession. Why? What does confession do? You say we don't have as much to say, thank God. But you see, confession is a healing sacrament also. And not only does it wipe away sin, you say, well, it's only venial sin. What are we talking about, only? If I offend God, I offend God. What happens in mortal sin is I kill myself. You see, I shove God out of my heart and mind. So, but you need to pray. You know, I wouldn't pray with too much anxiety. I would ask our dear Lord to send you someone that you can marry and love and be married in the church. I think it's okay. But in the meantime, be at peace. You found the Holy One. You found Jesus. And that's a very fulfilling experience to know. And confession is awesome. Huh? But we'll pray with you.
So that's a way for us to start things off, Mother Angelica answering the call. Let's look at what's coming up next for us, Father. Phone call having to do with a quadriplegic fellow calling in and also having to do with suffering in general. It was a pretty powerful response Mother had with that phone call, didn't you think?
Yes, and she, of course, has so much experience. She told me one time that suffering was her companion that always kept her dependent upon God. And so she saw it as something very positive for her own spiritual life. And this particular person is talking about, you know, offering his own pain and suffering. We know that St. Paul even speaks about this, the value of our suffering when united to Christ, that we share in his work of redemption. And so Christ himself has dignified our own suffering.
Right. It really struck me when Mother makes the point, and people can listen to us, she talks about many souls will be saved because of you. And when you get to heaven, you'll see all these people coming towards you, radiant, beautiful, grateful, and you won't understand, but those are people that you've impacted. And that's such an important point for so many people living out lives, especially ones of suffering.
Yes, that the world would say, euthanasia answer, just end your life, suffering is meaningless. But no, that's not the Christian response. That's not the response of hope.
Certainly not Mother's response, as you'll hear.
We have a call. Hello? Hi.
This is Janice. I'm from Monroe, Michigan.
Uh-huh.
I read the book on Our Lady of Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
And after I read that, I said to Jesus, I would be willing to suffer like the children suffered.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly thereafter, I had an accident, and I'm now a quadriplegic.
Ah.
And I don't feel bad about it, no. I just feel like I'm doing something for the world and for Jesus himself to
you are.
For the sins of the world.
And many souls will be saved because of you. And when you get to heaven, you'll see all these people coming towards you, radiant, beautiful, grateful. And you won't understand. And they will come up to you one by one and say, thank you. Thank you. You saved my soul. God gave me grace to repent because of you. God gave me grace to turn my life around because of you. God gave me grace to come back to the sacraments because of you. Rejoice, all of you that are in pain and suffering. You saved thousands of souls that otherwise may not be saved. And I know I'm right because Our Lady of Fatima, since you mentioned her, said that. Many souls are lost because there is no one to pray for them, much less suffer for them, see? So, I'm glad and I thank God that you got such wonderful light to see. You have a calling from God to save souls.
There's more Mother Angelica answering the call
on EWTN Radio.
Let's return to Mother Angelica
answering the call
with Father Joseph and Doug Kecht on EWTN Radio.
And thank you so much for staying with us here on part two of Answering the Call, Mother Angelica's program here on EWTN. I'm Doug Keck with Father Joseph Mary Wolfe as we guide you through these wonderful phone calls, Q&A from Mother Angelica's live shows over the years. This one coming up is on heaven and angels. And anything in this particular one, Father, that jumps out at you?
Yeah, I like the insight that there's no jealousy in heaven, of course. There can be no sin. But we'll enjoy each other's holiness. And it reminded me of a quote St. Anthony of Padua that I came across, where he says, I will delight in your glory as if it were my own, and you will delight in my glory as if it were your own. So, Doug, you know, when we're in heaven, please God, I'm going to just be happy about your glory.
And be quite surprised, as Mother would say sometimes, with who you'd expect to be in heaven, and they were surprised to see you too. She said, talking about their full, meaning talking about the idea that when you're in heaven, everybody is filled with the love of God, the capacity is filled to the brim in each person. So even though there may be different degrees based on what we experience in life, we will be filled to the brim as much as we can be, the love that we can take on, as Mother so well puts it.
Yeah, and St. Therese, she quotes, is having a hard time with understanding that until her sister Pauline pointed out that if you had two glasses, like you said, and both are filled, they're both happily filled, right? Like we'll be in heaven. There will be no jealousy, no envy. We will be happy in our fulfillment in God.
And now Mother fills us in.
We have another call. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, where are you from?
I'm from Palos Heights, Illinois, Mother.
And what is your question?
My question, it regards what you were speaking of earlier tonight about trying to grow closer to the Lord, which makes me think that the Lord has different places for us and higher places for some of us than others. Once you get there and you're in the place you're supposed to be in heaven, how will it make any difference to you as to whether you're higher or lower? Because you'll be happy as you are right where he placed you.
That's right. There's no jealousy in heaven. The little flower, you know, had a hard time with that. And so she asked her sister Pauline about it one time, and Pauline took two glasses and she filled them to the top. And she said, now, what do they look like? She said, they're full. He said, well, that's how it is in heaven. Everybody is so filled with the love of God. Their capacity is filled to the brim. So there's no jealousy, see. And one may have a higher degree than another. And that depends upon us here. It doesn't depend upon ourselves, no, because grace is the root of everything. It does depend on our cooperation, see? And that's why confession is so important, see? Even if you've committed grave sin, confession wipes it out. And you not only start over, you can start way ahead because you're humbled by it, see? And so in heaven, there will be an awesome gratitude to God, beautiful gratitude to God for everything he has done. And we will know how good God was to us. You know, every day I thank the Lord for all the miracles he does for us that I don't see. I think we'll be surprised in heaven how good God was to each one of us, and we never saw it. We called them accidents, we called them good luck. Oh, it was the Lord. And so for that reason, there can be no doubt, we're filled. And even if I don't reach that degree of God, union God desired of me, I'm there. And I will be happy even with less. Because the happiness in heaven is so intense and so awesome. And one of the most beautiful things about heaven is it will never, never end. You know, one of my sisters, her class had a reunion. This picture was filled with all the people in her class 10 years ago. They were all old, they all looked old, and they all looked the same age. You know? And they said they had a good time. I'm glad. I can't tell you what I thought. But oh, dear. But but see, in heaven, this is not going to be that way. We'll know everybody. So in heaven, we will enjoy each other's holiness. There are a few people we may go to and say, I never thought you'd make it.
Yeah.
And he'll probably say to you, well, kiddo, I never thought you would either. But you'll be happy together forever. Just imagine your dearest or greatest enemy you will love with all your heart.
And we go from heaven and hell to converting and purgatory. Now, in this particular one, Mother points out there is no junior grade in hell. What did you think of that comment, Father?
That really clarifies it. Just like the Catechism says, the suffering in hell is completely distinct from the suffering in purgatory, because the souls in hell, you know, live a life really of despair. There's no hope. Enter this place where hope exits, right? And so purgatory is that place where we are hopeful. We know what we are headed toward. And so she points out the fact that we're headed to heaven and we're going to have a great joy, suffering because we're not there yet. We long to be united with the Lord. And yet there's this great joy and anticipation of what will be ours.
Right. And she makes this point. For the first time, maybe in our entire life, we know what it was to sin and the consequences, and we're sorry, but not regret. There's no regret in purgatory. What about that?
Yes, so again, like it said, I forget which of the saints said it, but that the souls in purgatory would not want to come back to earth because they know they're on their way toward glory, and they willingly accept what is necessary for their purification. C.S. Lewis even came to that conclusion. He said, imagine you're smelly, you're dirty, and you come to this place that's just pure and clean. You're not going to say, well, can I come in even though I smell and I'm dirty? No, you're going to say, clean me up, cleanse me. And so we will willingly accept whatever suffering is necessary to prepare us for that light of glory.
Right. And a conversion story and purgatory both in this call.
We have another call. Hello?
Hello, Mother Angelica.
Where are you from?
My name is Bob, and I'm calling from Minneapolis.
And what is your question?
My wife and I are former Protestants who are considering converting to the Catholic Church.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we wanted to ask you about what the Catholic view of the, like a picture image of purgatory would be, because as Protestants, we've always kind of had this image of sort of like a junior grade hell, with a lot of suffering going on and so forth. Could you tell us, is there suffering in purgatory and how that compares to, like, the suffering in hell?
There is no junior grade hell. If you're in hell, you're in hell. The worst kind. Purgatory is different. It is suffering. But I read a beautiful book on purgatory written by a bishop, I forget his name now, but I think it was the best I ever read. When you die, you shall see God face to face. You'll see Jesus face to face. Suddenly, there he is, all his awesome wonder, majesty, holiness, and love for you. For the first time in your life, you will know, feel, and understand how much he loved you, how much mercy he bestowed upon you, how many graces you had, how many times you said no, how many times you said yes. It will come in a flash. And Jesus will stand there like this to you. Here's the suffering. When you see yourself so clear, you want to go, but you can't. You see, there's such a difference between you and Jesus. Such a vast difference. You can't. And there's the suffering. Unbelievable suffering from the fact that I wanted to go and I couldn't. It's like missing God so much with all your heart, mind, and soul. Missing him. It's an awesome suffering. They're not, I don't think, real fire, because we don't have a body, but we have a soul. And that soul suffers from the fire of desire for God, the fire of repentance, for the first time maybe in our entire life, we know what it was to sin and the consequences, and we're so sorry. But not regret. There's no regret in purgatory. There's an awesome joy along with awesome suffering because I am on my way. I've always said to the sisters, when I die and find myself in purgatory, the first thing I'm going to say is, well, I made it. I mean, at least I'm there. And I don't have to worry about not being saved. What a joy that would be, huh? You're going to see a lot of your friends there. You'll be surprised at how many you thought were in the lower region or in the middle region. But it's a place, yes, it's a place of suffering, a place of joy. Not the kind of joy in heaven, but the joy that comes, I have seen him. I have seen him. My soul has seen the Lord God. At that point, no amount of suffering is too much because I know what I didn't do and I know I have to be purified. All I want is to be purified so I can run to Jesus, and that's purgatory.
For more about Mother Angelica and to listen to her shows, go to EWTN.com. See you next time on Mother Angelica, Answering the Call, only on EWTN Radio.